Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have with me today Laura Landmark. Hello to you.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on your show.
It is our pleasure, Laura. Just for the benefit of people listening that may not know you, tell us a bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
Yes, I'm a chartered management accountant by training and profession. So qualified way back 20 plus years or so, and have spent an entire career basically working in numbers in accounting. So serving management with good reports, budgets, dashboards, forecasts, that kind of thing. I moved to Norway in 2008. I'm actually English, but now live in Norway. And when I moved over to Norway, I had the privilege of no longer working as an accountant, but working with systems. So working with economy systems, implementing them, designing them, building them up. And from that, I got a really good overview of how these systems actually work and the potential that actually lies in them in terms of the data they contain. So having done that for quite some years, I ended up founding a business in 2017, Mantle, and we actually work with all this wonderful data, pulling it together into these wonderful management reports, dashboards, analytics, forecasts, and all of those things that I've always done my entire career. But this time they're automated. You know, it's like a dream come true for me, really.
Well, we'll talk a bit more about automation and technology, but just for the moment, what kind of shape do you feel the accounting world is in right now?
I feel it's in a very exciting space where it's more or less make or break for many firms. I've asked a lot of questions to a lot of people about whether they feel that's all hype or whether it's true, you know, whether we're really in such a period of change as the press and people would lead us to believe. And from what I have understood, yes, we are actually. So I think it's very important that accountants take this seriously, that it is no longer going to carry on like it's been for the last 20 years, but the opportunities are huge and it's so much more exciting, I think, for accountants these days than it ever was before.
Yeah.
So I think the industry, it's just in flux. Make of it what you will, but there's no stopping it. There's no slowing it down.
Flux is a very good word. And when you look at accountants as a breed, you're one yourself, so you understand this. How well do they cope with change?
Yeah, that's a good question, because the stereotypical accountant, of course, we're led to believe is very sort of shy and likes to sit behind the computer with all the numbers and doesn't necessarily want to be that customer facing person that we're now required to be. However, I also meet huge numbers of very business-like accountants that are very excited about the future and the opportunity to actually do something more exciting with the qualifications that we spent so long getting. And we're in that privileged position of just understanding how businesses fit together. And that gives us this advantage of being able to find more creative ways for our customers to actually work within their own businesses. It's probably true to say that there are some accountants that are just not going to like the future and they may find themselves something else to do. But for those of us that are willing to take the leap, then there's a lot of opportunity.
And you've very much got your foot in the tech world now. We're not asking accountants to be complete geeks, are we, with the tech? But they've got to know how to do a little bit more than turn a computer on and off these days.
Yeah. Well, our business, it serves accounting practices with technical solutions, as well as other types of businesses as well. But we work a lot with accounting practices. And one of the things that we say is that it's not really the technology that's the issue, or even the main point often. The point is, what do you want to do with it? It's much more difficult to design a good system or to get a technological solution up and running in a way that's really going to work for you than it is actually to program the system. You know, that's just bunging a lot of code and rules into a system to create something that the end user can use. So what we find with accountants is, yes, they do need to be more tech savvy, but the main point is really to be more aware of what the technology can do and how it can help. Not necessarily to actually have to go and build the solutions themselves.
No, indeed. But it is overwhelming, the sheer amount of tech. I read recently there's something like 1,000 apps now that are linked to the accounting world, and Xero have their own ecosystem, and Sage and Intuit, and all these are the practice management systems. So it can be overwhelming for an accountant to say, right, how do I even dip my toes into this world and get started?
Very overwhelming. I totally agree with you. And it's one of the worst things they can do is not have a strategy and start downloading stuff left, right, and center and not not really having a clue about the big picture on how they want to use that, either in the practice or for a customer. So what we really encourage our practices to do is to go into a stage of design and thinking before they start downloading left, right, and center. Right. But the good thing is that there are a great number of apps available to us, and some of them exist within ecosystems like the Xero ecosystem. So in theory, they should all talk nicely together. More often than not, they exist outside of any sort of defined ecosystem, because the customer often comes with either some legacy systems or some industry-specific systems that don't necessarily fit into a defined ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So especially here in Norway, we find that there are probably 7 main accounting systems that people use.
Right.
Half of them are cloud-based and half of them are not. So many people are migrating, obviously, over to the cloud-based ones. And those cloud-based accounting systems, they're absolutely amazing for accounting. And a lot of people use them, but they have their own systems around the accounting system for production, for project management, or timekeeping. And the beauty of today is that our customers or our accounting practice are free to use all of these. It's no problem, because we can get them all talking together. But what we encourage our practices to do is to just think about what can they use for the majority of their customers. If they're branch specific, then what is the most flexible tool for that specific branch? So rather focus on a few applications instead of adding hundreds into the ecosystem, because it's not cost efficient to integrate up hundreds of different systems, obviously. Yeah. You know, rather pick your own package, but make sure you know why you're picking it.
You talk a lot about automation, Laura. Why is that so important when it comes to things like reporting and budgeting for accountants?
Yeah, well, the reason that it's so important, especially for accountants, which is why we work so often with them, is that it allows them to be a lot more productive. Obviously, they can produce a lot more quickly. If they're sticking straws down into these different systems and pulling out the data, and then the machines are formulating it into a nice format, which is good to go. And obviously, with the technical solutions, you can often drill down into the underlying transactions so you can do your research and your variance analysis or whatever else needs to be done. It means that you're ready to go out to your customer with an intuitive starting point. It's very unnerving for accountants to go and have to sit in front of a customer and to take that role of having to help the customer grow or develop a business, and actually, as the accountant, not really having full control on what's happening in that business. So therefore, an accountant can spend a lot of time doing it manually, like pulling together information manually before they go and see the customer, if they don't have tools to automate that.
Yeah.
So I feel that it improves the quality of the information that's available. It improves the ability to deep dive, to model the data, to look at it by different dimensions, whether that be by project or department or employee. So you can slice and dice a lot more easily. And the technical solutions can be fully specced out, full-on technical solutions, or they can be much more specific and lower key. But the point is to not to have to spend time manually digging out this insightful information.
But there must be some mistakes that accounting firms make when implementing the tech and trying to drive this automation.
Yeah, one of the mistakes is something I mentioned already, and that is that they don't spend enough time thinking about the actual business case.
The strategic side of it.
Yeah, the actual, what are we trying to achieve here with this? And how? How are we going to onboard this technology? What are our biggest pain points? What do we want to solve first? Let's actually make a strategy for this. So I think one of the mistakes is that they don't think through that. Often it's the idea of, oh, let's just buy a solution. Let's just buy a piece of software and then everything's going to be okay. But often these softwares are quite comprehensive. They need to be configured, and therefore there needs to be some planning and some design. And one needs to pull together a team to do that. Who in the practice is going to lead this? Who is going to communicate with the solution provider on the outside to make sure that the practice themselves get the absolute best result from the technology? So I think that's one of the mistakes that accounting practices make. One of the other mistakes is trying to bite off too much too quickly, like trying to solve too much in one go, rather than taking the slightly more kind of like modern or iterative approach of saying, let's take a few customers. So let's say you have a customer portfolio of 600 or something. Why not take 20 or 50 to start with? Maybe not start with everybody all at once, and start building up your own knowledge of the system and how and what it can achieve for you. Because ultimately, if you try and do too much too soon, and this is the same with non-accounting practices, i.e., you know, other types of businesses as well, you often end up with a solution that wasn't quite how you wanted it really, because you learn along the way. And if you skip that learning part by just building something, you know, massive and comprehensive from the outset, then you've missed a trick. And another thing that often we find is that accounting practices sometimes make the mistake of thinking that they can just do it all in-house, that they can maybe hire an SQL person or hire a tech person, and then they've got a person to develop all these solutions. But the problem often is that that tech person isn't an accountant, so they don't understand debits and credits and how how things have to balance and what a balance sheet means versus what a P&L means. And so we say often to our practices, don't buy in or hire an expensive tech person to have on your books that can do one thing and will potentially become disillusioned relatively quickly once the tech work dries up. Rather just hire in the experts when you need them.
Yeah.
And then work with them as a collaborative team to over time build up a solution that works really well for you.
We know that client expectations are going ever up. What do you feel people want from their accountant these days? And how does the tech help?
That's a really good question. And I think we are in that state of change or that state of flux. And I think customers at the moment, you know, they may not even know what they want from an accountant until they actually find an accountant that delivers them what they want. Based on what I've heard when I've been asking and doing so much research into this area, it's customers, they're looking for accountants that are very proactive. So accountants that are going to support them and to bring their expertise to the business, to guide the business, and to really care about the business. And I think when customers find that type of accountant, they're extremely loyal. You know, yeah. They don't move. They don't want to move. You know, they've built a relationship with the accountant that is worth more than money, really. All about relationships. That's what customers want. They want to feel that they're taken care of. So when they find that accountant who's able to deliver, and the reason they're able to deliver is because they've got the technology giving them the support that they need. So the accountant has the technology, which almost acts as, you know, their assistant, if you like.
Yeah, the technology helps the relationships.
Exactly. The technology frees up the accountant to go and have the relationship, because the accountant can go and sit down and spend time listening and understanding, and then basically coming away with a good sense of what that company wants to achieve. What are their biggest pain points? How can I now, as the accountant, go back and maybe design a report that I can produce for them once a week or once a month or whatever?
We hear a lot about words like leverage and scale when it comes to technology. Is there any difference between those two words, and how might the technology help with either of them?
The way I think about those two words is whenever I hear that word leverage, I always just think of that, you know, the picture with the lever and the fulcrum and the big rock, and the idea that technology just gives us that ability to move huge obstacles really easily.
Right.
And so it's just giving us power, really. It's giving us the power to do things we wouldn't normally be able to do. And then scaling, I think of that in a different way. For example, I'm working with a customer now. They're relatively small at the moment, but they're a very high growth company. They're a tech company. They have the foresight of understanding that they want to grow their business. They have big plans for the next few years. And if they add people into the business, they want to add them at the front end. So they want to add them into sales or into the customer service and the customer care. What they don't want to be doing is adding a lot of back office people. So they've employed us now to get their systems talking to each other and automating a lot of these routine processes that currently they're doing manually. Mm. And that's going to allow them to scale without hitting a ceiling, because normally when you're scaling, you hit a number of ceilings and you stop up and you have to do something in order to get to the next stage. And that might well be add in another person. So the technology is going to allow them to sail through those ceilings, because the technology doesn't care whether it's 1,000 orders or 10,000 orders. You know, the technology can process it just as well, no matter how much is going on in the system. So I think scaling is for businesses that are in a period of growth or have plans to grow. Technology will allow them to do it effectively, essentially.
And there at Mantle Analytics, what kind of problems do you solve for your clients, Laura?
Well, a number of very mundane types of problems, which is just moving data from one system to another and cleansing data and modeling data. We've actually built our own integration platform now, because so much of the work we do is receiving data and doing something with it and then sending it somewhere else. So we have our own software to do that. But the reason we started the business in the first place was to focus on building these management dashboards and reports. So we have three third-party tools which allow us to do that. Two of them are Scandinavian, so you may not have heard of them. They're called BizView and OneStop. And of course, we use Microsoft Power BI. And the kind of projects we work on, well, two come to mind that were particularly exciting. And one of them was a construction company that wanted to give their project managers more accountability or control over the project. So we worked for a number of months on building a project costing system, where really it's the project management system, which handles everything to do with the project. So it's the original budgets, the change orders, the change of contracts, the contract letters, the bill of materials. It just handles everything from A to Z. And the fun thing about that customer is that they've been very sensible in developing this over time. So this has become the core of their business now. And we have a very tight relationship with them. So we go back regularly to make little tweaks or add small bits. And the reports that spin off of this project costing system are amazing. They have such great control. That was an exciting project. But another type of project we often work on, and sadly, I really enjoy them, consolidations. So we have a lot of companies that exist in groups. groups. And sometimes those groups, the mothers or the daughters are overseas. And so there's a lot of intercompany reporting and consolidation reporting with multi-currencies and different accounting rules and regulations that need to be taken into care of when you're consolidating all of this data. The last time I did this type of project, I worked with a customer who was spending about 2.5 weeks trying to produce this thing every month because the investment company required them to produce a consolidated profit and loss balance sheet, cash flow statement, a statement of changes in equity, and it had to be with department and with different group structures. And this poor guy, I mean, literally, he was pulling his hair out every month having to produce this thing in Excel. So he was spending, as I say, 2.5-3 weeks and really not getting a very accurate report. And then we've gone in and we've automated that, and it now takes him 30 seconds to run. So, I mean, the reason I love those types of projects is they're not the most exciting, but you really are giving somebody back a great quality of life. They're getting back their time to spend with their family. They're not having to do all the overtime to produce these relatively boring reports.
So what you do there, Laura, it doesn't just benefit accountants, as you said earlier, but it benefits the clients of accountants.
Exactly, yeah. So either we work with accountants and we stand by them to serve their clients, or we work directly often with our own clients. We often go out with accountants, like we put on their hat, you know, and we go out as an extended arm of their practice and listen to customers to see, okay, what are the problems here? What needs solving? And then we can act as the experts, if you like, to look at, okay, what kind of challenges are potentially we're facing here? What are the opportunities? What are the low-hanging fruit? What can we achieve relatively quickly here? So we go out to support the accountants in getting their customers much more effective, if you like.
Well, the accountants are the trusted advisors, but they can't know everything, can they? So it helps to bring experts like you along to particular clients.
Exactly. So they have the relationship with the customer. They often understand the customer's business and they can sit beside the customer, you know, on behalf of the customer to explain to us as the developers what the actual problem is or the challenge is. And then between us as a team, we can figure out, okay, how are we going to solve this? And then we will go away, we will pair a budget or a quote or an offer, and then we will present that back to the accountant who then goes back to their customer, or we go together. It depends on how the accountant wants to work.
Well, this is great, Laura. If people want to find out more about what you do and have a conversation with you, what's a good way for them to reach you?
LinkedIn is the best way to reach me because I'm very active on LinkedIn and I do respond to all the messages that I get there.
Yeah. So. And you sound very passionate. What is it you really love about what you do?
I love working with people and solving problems. It's so much fun.
Definitely. So this has been great, Laura. Can you leave us with some of the questions that accountants help their clients answer using technology and automation?
Yeah, I can. I have my pet 5 questions all business owners have on their mind all the time, whether they know it or not. These are the types of questions that we try to answer using the technology. And that is, first and foremost, where should I focus my time? If I'm in business, where are the areas which deserve my attention over and above the others? Because it's all about prioritizing, isn't it? Sales and marketing, where should I invest my sales and marketing money if I'm going to invest money at all? Google ads, or there's Facebook ads, or there's going to conferences. There's so many different ways of spending marketing money. That's always very important to address. Number 3 is clients. Who should I work with? Who should I fire? Where are some clients better off being served by another accountant, not me? Because there is obviously mismatch in culture or expectations. And so the 80-20 principle that we've all heard, 80% of the income comes from 20% of the clients. Who are they? That's in terms of an accounting practice, but it's the same for the businesses as well. And then pricing. This is a real hot topic. And I love Rhonda Lynn Korolak. I don't know if you've read her books.
Yeah, she's been on our podcast.
Yeah, she has, of course. Yeah. But I mean, she is just a genius when it comes to pricing. It's so important. So pricing is something, obviously, the types of reports that we can produce with technology give you a real deep dive into the pricing methodology. Is it working? Is it not? And the last question is productivity. How can I increase productivity? Where do we have our opportunity? So let's start slicing up the business into the relative, like different departments or different regions, and actually start looking at the productivity of each one and looking for opportunities. So those are the big 5 questions. I mean, there are many questions.
Lots of questions. Well, Laura Lammert, this has been terrific. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot, Rob, for having me on your show. It's been really fun talking to you.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.